increase or decrease cover of our underground assets. And we've had this in the past where significant changes, if cover reduces, that's a safety issue for us with accidental strikes on our network. Likewise, too much cover over our assets can derate them, which means we have to get less efficiency out of those networks. And had instances where up to 3 to 4 meters has been placed on top of our assets, and it's very hard to actually physically access those if we need to at a later date.
How does that reduce your performance?
Through heat dissipation. So optimally, we have our underground assets about a meter below ground level, and that can dissipate the heat that's generated by the cables.
Mm.
With more cover, that prevents that heat from being able to dissipate.
And that then reduces the amount of electricity efficiency.
That we can push through those cables, yep, absolutely.
So heat is a determinant of the voltage, not so much the voltage, but the energy efficiency.
The amount of current that we're passing through that yeah. cable. So it'll have a thermal property that it can go up to a maximum of.
Oh, I see.
So the voltage is always constant. It's just the amount of current that it's like if you put it in the terms of a hose pipe. So you've got a set size of the actual pipe.
Yeah.
It's just how much you're pushing through it.
Yeah, I've got you.
And lastly, just ensuring that any trees or vegetation planted in the vicinity of our assets comply with the Hazards from Trees Regulations 2003. The NOR documentation contains little commentary on the presence of our networks within the area to be designated. It indicates that some services may need to be relocated. However, no adverse effects are anticipated. The design, construction and operation reports discusses supply of electricity to the freight hub itself and also mentions that local distribution or local reticulation across the designation needing to be removed. I'm unsure if all PowerCo reticulation within the designation boundaries is captured by the statement. For instance, there's an 11 kV network on Roberts Line. I wasn't quite sure from the statement in the design, construction and operation report whether it did include that network or not. Due to a lack of information on how impacts on our network will be addressed, we can't conclude whether our networks will be adversely affected or not. Due to the lineal and interconnected nature of our networks and the large area that the designation applies to, it is a reasonable assumption that there will be some level of effect on our works. I note I have had conversations with KiwiRail and believe the intention is that all of our networks will be removed from the designated area. Obviously, based on the concerns outlined above, PowerCo is seeking the following relief, and this was exactly as outlined in our submission. So that first comment is just around the designation boundaries reduced in area along Railway Road, Roberts Line and Richardson Line. This is just to the fact that it's an important utility corridor, and fundamentally, those areas, as I understand it, are going to be used as roads in any event, so I'm sort of a bit uncertain why that has to be included as part of the designated area for KiwiRail use. Obviously, those roads will be stopped and public will have no automatic right of access to those areas. So, and obviously, we would lose a utility corridor through there as well. So I'd ideally like those designation boundaries to be shrunk up a bit.
So are you asking that the boundaries reduced so they don't capture those roads?
Correct. So it maintains the road corridor. Roads are, as I understand it, to be located in that area in any event. So I'm just question, why does it have to be under KiwiRail control? Why can't it remain under either council or NCTA control?
Well, Railway Road is not going to be under anyone's control. There's no replacement of it. It's a division.
It will be under the control of KiwiRail.
The land will be, but not there won't be a road necessarily. There'll be tracks.
There will still be a roading link through there, will there not? Through Railway Road at the bottom there.
Well, where are you pointing to?
Well, right at the very bottom down here.
Yes.
Are there railway tracks the entire way through there? I understood. I thought there was still going to be a roading link down through there.
There will be down there.
So if there's still going to be a road there, why does the my submission is, why does the designation need apply over the roads in those locations when it's going to be a road in any event?
Okay.
Effectively, yeah, takes that corridor away for utilities.
How does it take the road away for utilities? Because it'll still be a road.
Well, it's not. It's going to be stopped and it will be designated by Kerry Rail. So,
I'm just talking about the bit at the bottom there where Railroad Road will still be.
It'll still be there, but yeah. I understood that that road was to be stopped and it's going to be part of the designated area. So, Kerry Rail has first right of refusal for anything that happens in that area as the requiring authority that holds a designation over that area. So, if they don't want, electricity networks to be located in there, if we wanted them to be there, they could say, move them, please. You're interfering with our designation.
I'm sure the council and Kiwi Rail can inform us on that later.
All right, thank you. Okay, in terms of the conditions, asked for a condition that all PowerCo-owned infrastructure be relocated outside of the designation boundaries before the freight hub becomes operational and that all costs are borne by the requiring authority. My understanding is that Kerry Rail would like to see all our assets out. I would like a condition inserted that provides absolute clarity around that. I've also sought conditions around works complying with the New Zealand Code of Practice, the safe distances, and trees and or vegetation complying with the tree regs. And the last one is just around site works in terms of marking out underground utilities, making sure contractors are aware of those utilities, both for movement of mobile plant, diggers and the like, but equally and particularly down the southern end of Railway Road, there's a dotted line that you may not pick up right where the laser pointer's at. Obviously, that's an underground service, so it may not be readily evident that there's our networks in those areas. In terms of the Section 42A report, this report acknowledges that an assessment of effects on network utilities that are nationally or regionally significant has not been undertaken. I note that this was requested as further information. I also note that PowerCo networks are specifically included as regionally important infrastructure. That's under both the regional policy statement and the district plan. So the effects on our infrastructure should have been assessed. At paragraph 760, the reporting planners agree with some of the conditions requested by PowerCo, but have not agreed with the request for PowerCo assets to be relocated, citing this as an operational relationship issue. I disagree with this conclusion, as there is a potential for effects on our networks, such as physical damage, as well as restrictions on our ability to access, operate, inspect, and maintain our networks if they are to remain within the designated area. I note that the reporting planners have recommended a condition that requires continuity of service and efficient relocation of any PNCC-owned three waters infrastructure that is affected by the construction or the operation of the hub. Condition was inserted as council services will be disrupted by the construction of the hub and there's a need to ensure an appropriate level of services maintained. The same can be said for PowerCo infrastructure, so I'm unclear why our relief sought has not been accepted. The reporting planners have queried whether an electricity management, transmission management plan would address our concerns. In principle, PowerCo is very supportive of a management plan being prepared. And I've included as Appendix A an example of conditions that could be included in Council's recommendation. If a management plan is in fact prepared, I'd ask that it has a generic title, as electricity transmission would imply that it only applies to the transpower network. If a condition is inserted that requires a management plan along the lines of that which is contained in Appendix A to my evidence, then the concerns of PowerCo would be met. If it's not recommended, then PowerCo supports recommended conditions 122, 123 and 125 as contained in the planning evidence summary table. PowerGo is a little bit uncertain about the inclusion of Condition 124, the National Code of Practice for Utility Operators' Access to Transport Corridors does contain useful provisions. However, it also contains specific conditions for access to railway corridors, and I assume that this would apply to the whole designated area. The requirements under the Code of Practice are far more restrictive for assets and railway corridors when compared to the existing situation of assets being located in legal road. PowerCo would be concerned if the inclusion of this condition provides KiwiRail with the ability to refuse PowerCo access to its assets, both existing or new, within the designated area. The last outstanding matter for PowerCo would be the insertion of a condition requiring all PowerCo infrastructure to be relocated outside of the designation boundaries before the freight hub becomes operational. There's potential for adverse effects on our networks resulting from the network activities authorised by the designation, and these potential adverse effects must be addressed through conditions similar to those outlined in paragraph 24. For the reasons outlined above, it is clear that the PowerCo networks are regionally significant, and the requests PowerCo has made to include conditions in the Council's recommendations are entirely reasonable to ensure continuity of electricity supply. The imposition of appropriate conditions will ensure that the ongoing operation, maintenance and upgrading of the local distribution network is appropriately taken into account as the development of the freight hub progresses. And that will have positive benefits to residents, businesses and essential services in Palmerston North. I just wanted to add one final point. It's just around the importance of conditions to PowerCo. And we've had discussions with KiwiRail around a development agreement or a side agreement to address some of these concerns, and I'm certainly happy to work with KiwiRail on that. One concern, and we've experienced this in the past, is side agreements are all well and good. However, with a large project of this scale, there can be a change from the team that are sitting here getting the approvals to the team that actually builds it. So I've had NZTA projects where it's gone off to a design build contract, and that the builder of the actual road knew nothing of the agreement that we've had, and we've really had to fight to get our concerns met through that site agreement. So getting conditions actually imposed on that designation will ensure that it's there in black and white, and whoever is ultimately responsible for doing the construction works associated with the hub is absolutely clear what they need to do in regards to our network. So agree the site agreements are important and have their place, but equally place more importance actually on conditions on the actual designation itself. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Just a couple of questions before I ask other commissioners. What's the relationship under the Electricity Act? Presumably the designation doesn't override the obligations to avoid that infrastructure.
Great.
Under the Electricity Act. So you have some protection under the provisions of the Electricity Act?
We do, but then we still need, when it becomes a rail corridor or a rail premise, we have further restrictions that will be imposed on us to actually physically access those assets within that area. So it derogates from our current rights.
Yes, so then you have to work out how to reconcile the Railways Act with the Electricity Act.
Correct.
Which is not an easy pit, presumably.
Not easy.
Can you provide this Appendix A to us in Word?
Absolutely.
As well as the PDF of this evidence?
Absolutely.
So that we have that recommendation there?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schofield. It looked vaguely familiar to me. Slight amendments, the Network Utility Management Plan. Was that taken from Transmission Gully or similar?
I'm not sure if it was Transmission projects. Gully. It was an NZTA project, or it might have been the new road getting built out at the site here.
It's not from the new road.
Okay, transmission. I went in and found an example that I just located in our file system. So
Have you been involved with the Transmission Gully project in terms of the relocation of Palco?
No.
Have you been involved with Te Ahua Tauranga in terms of the relocation?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering if you'd had experience in these being useful.
Sure. I believe it would certainly be useful, and it's outlining the responsibilities and matters to be considered throughout the process.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, as I was alluding to before, site agreements can be good. There's statements saying all our assets within the designated area will be relocated. I don't know that QRL understands how much of a job that's going to be. These aren't... It's not a simple job just to relocate assets. It's going to be really involved and it's going to cost a lot of money. I've had NZTA projects that were going to go right through the middle of a substation. Just relocate your substation, and then they actually found out how much time and effort it takes to achieve that, and they walked away from it. They actually amended the alignment of the road to avoid the substation. So I guess I think it will really highlight by having that management plan in there, rights, responsibilities, and ultimately costs associated with those relocation works.
Google's a wonderful thing, and I see that PowerCo is a requiring authority.
Correct.
Has PowerCo considered designating its assets?
We do designate some of our assets, and particularly new substations and new line routes that are strategic. Absolutely, we do. And much like Transpower, there's a reason why we don't designate all our assets. As soon as you touch private property, they can take you to Environment Court and seek compensation. So,
is your Bunny Thought GXP designated?
That's a Transpower GXP. So Transpower owns that site.
Sorry.
They will have that designated, absolutely. We will have equipment on the designated site, but we don't hold any designations over that. The actual GXP itself.
And I take it, what's PowerCo's status?
In regards of?
Is it a state-owned enterprise?
No, we're a privately owned company owned by Australians. Okay. So don't hold that against me, please. So, privately owned company, infrastructure company that operates gas and electricity networks. You're absolutely right. We do have requiring authority status.
No, that's been very helpful. If we can have this as a Word document.
Absolutely. I'll get that through.
Very useful.
I'm not sure why my commissioner's asking for another designation of this location.
No, I'm not. Why Australia? No, I don't have any questions for you.
I just have one topic I'd like to explore a little. You've sort of gone through this a little bit, but I just want a little bit more clarity if possible. And that's around wanting your assets out of a designation, but there are road corridors that would be within the designation. And I know Commissioner Sweetman sort of has asked Council to think about this as well. But if Roberts Line is retained as public road, does that affect your view on needing to relocate outside the designation? My understanding is that the designation covers it to allow works to be done, but then it gets given back to council.
Right. It's coming down to certainty. So at the moment, we don't know whether it's going to retain and or will it be stopped or not is the question fundamentally. So if it's stopped, it's no longer legal road. We have no right of access at that point. Once the designation is confirmed, any works that we do within that area, obviously, we would need to get approval from QRL as the requiring authority before we do any work. So that will throw us into the process of their standard access or authorities to access their space effectively. Hit a slight mind blank. So, it's all about... we don't know at the moment whether the roads will be stopped or not. As it stands with the designation as I see it, the designation extends over. So if this was the road corridor, the designation swallows up that whole road corridor. It's proposed to be stopped. So So we have no right of access through there, so we'd want our assets out of that area.
Okay, so just to give some clarity, I guess, Robert's Line will remain open. That's not intended to be stopped at all. Large extent of railway road, totally understand. But Robert's Line would be retained as public road because it gives access to parts of the northeast industrial zone. So if it is public road still, does that change your view?
If there was provision in the conditions of the designation to allow those assets to be accessed and operated and maintained freely as it was still legal road, then I'd be fine with that.
Thank you.
And would that be a product of the management plan process that you've got here or what?
I think that would have to be a separate condition of the designation, in my view.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for your time.
Hello, welcome.
Hello.
I'm just trying to find out where you are in the schedule. Oh, David Odering, sorry. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So, as a private individual, I've done as much research as I can and I've tried to stick within the confines of the reason why this panel has been put together, but if I stray a little bit to somewhat council issues, my apologies for my naivety.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you to the panel. My name is David Odering, it's my wife Fiona. We reside at 813 Roberts Line. Our property sits outside the designated land for the Kiwi Rail Notice of Requirement. The Kiwi Rail Freight Hub construction would be affected by it. I've lived in Palmerston North my whole life, and my family name is well known in the region, as my father started a garden centre in Cook Street 50 years ago. My submission number is number 98, and I speak to you on behalf of my wife Fiona and our three children, Clara, Hayley and Duncan, the youngest being eight. Our family purchased the property at 813 Roberts Line in 2015. We have lived there for 6 years. We selected this property in order to raise